it's been a moment since we've been here, but I'm not going to change where I was at. How to deal with people that gets on your nerve. That's why we was at. Marguerite said we didn't finish it. Muffin, you know what? You stopped reading that. See? That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I didn't say a word, did I? I'm learning how to deal with people that get on my nerve. Hallelujah. No, I know where we're at. 1 Samuel, and we left off at the 18th chapter, the 14th verse, didn't we? Oh, we at the 30th verse? We did go over to the 30th? Well, we started at the 18th chapter. We're gonna do a quick review because it's been a long time, maybe the Muffet. What last time you been at church? A month? Yeah. I missed two, so. I took the Muffin holidays. The Muffin spirit came up on me. Hallelujah. And it went into Marguerite. Hallelujah. And we had a pair of muffins that we went on. That's why we got to get away from her in the back room. She's corrupting us. Okay, what we're doing is I'm really want to go in our Wednesday night Bible study and the teaching of how to deal with people without offending them. You know, the ones that gets on your last nerve. Listen, this is a very important subject in for us because I've been really dealing with it internally within my own self. And we got to get to a place where we are Christians. And I'm very careful how I make these statements, but it got to be made because it's the truth. So please do not add on to what I'm about ready to say. Okay, we have to stop allowing people to get over on us. You got what I'm saying? But we still have to be Christians. But we got to learn how to walk away from folks. But we still got to be Christian. There is this fine line inside the sand that you don't see when it comes to our behavior versus another person's behavior. When do we stand up for ourselves and when do we lash back? When do we just take it? I hate when folks pull one scripture out like, you know, you're supposed to forgive your brother 70 times 70 and they let it by, lie. That is everything that's happening in our lives and, you know, you got to do. Or, you know, you're a Christian and you're supposed to take it. You know, listen, there is a way that we have to conduct ourselves as Christians, but yet still feel good and within ourselves about the events that occur that we don't feel like folks is getting over on us. Because there are get over spirits out there that will take advantage of your Christian walk and your Christian attitude. So we have to learn how to deal with people who are getting on our last nerve. And I'm going to show y'all a trick that I learned with David and some things we got to do. In all of these events we're dealing with, and we're going to be dealing over a few weeks, are people that got on Christian nerves, and we're going to look at it in the scripture, how they dealt with it. First and foremost, I'm dealing with the relationship of David and Saul, how Saul was in a position of authority, how Saul was a king, how Saul wanted David to be his armor bearer, how David used to do all these things to bless Saul, but because Saul got jealous of David, Saul went to attack David. He threw a javelin at him 2 times. Now, we left them off where they said the scripture that David behaved himself. And that word behaved himself is a very beautiful word. That word behaved himself, it simply means that David prospered in his movements. In other words, it means in everything that David did in his behavior, he weighs the pros and the cons. And he found out that this way is the best way to handle the situation. So let me understand that what we are doing, where we are at fault at the first thing we do, we are reacting too quickly. Yeah, I'm going to teach you how to be successful. This word behave himself means that he weighed the cost. He looked at it. He said, okay, God showed me that I'm going to be king. He placed me underneath of him to learn from him. Everything that he's doing to me, even though I don't like it, it is for my good that I learn these things. I'm not worrying about the end because he threw a javelin at me 3 months ago and it missed. He threw it again and he missed. And I don't think people understand the significance of him missing because he was captain over the army and his weapon of choice was a javelin. So he wasn't supposed to miss me. So my life is anointed and appointed, and I'm going to reach my destiny. Only thing I can do is hinder my destiny by not behaving myself. See, the word behave yourself in the scriptures, what we got to learn inside our Christian walk is some folks are really not worth us acting like a fool. Ouch! It's not them that will end up cursing you. It's you that's going to curse yourself because you allow their action to get to you. Now you're reacting to their action, and your reaction to their action is causing you to be cursed. Listen, number two, y'all ready? Write this down if you can. Your behavior cannot be a one-time hit it and quit it movement. It's a constant movement where you will be constantly tested by that same person or that same spirit. In a different person. Oh my gosh. That's the problem. And that's why some of y'all can't handle it because you're being tested at home, you've been tested at church, you're being tested on your job, and it's different people, but it's the exact same spirit, and you can't handle it because it's the same spirit 24/7 coming at you and from different people, and you can't see the spirit, you seeing the people. When you need to look at the spirit and say, okay, hold on, all of them act exactly the same. And all of them get on my last nerve. All of them are irritating me to the level where I have no peace. Any of y'all like that? You just want to give. And so, let's be honest. Put your hands over Margalena here. So I ain't going to ask her. What do you want to do? Seriously. Let's be honest. Curse them out. Smack them. You know, I heard somebody say they put the Holy Ghost on the shelf and they feel like fighting sometime and they put the Holy Ghost on the shelf and they can go pick it up. And I heard a preacher that really went off on him when he said that. You talking about, I ain't doing that for my Holy Ghost. Man, because you ain't real. Because some of us do want to see how far we can get away with it and keep our salvation intact. Are we honest here? Because now my flesh want what? Satisfaction. So now I have to weigh the cost of, is it the spirit that's leading me to do it, or is my fleshly being? This word behave himself is so deep and so profound. It's everything that we deal with constantly in the battle of when people get on our last nerve. Watch the some of the things we talked about that he did after the javelin and read from, because if we did, we're going to keep on going. Through the 14th verse on. And watch this. He just threw two javelins at him. Watch this. Come on.
1 Samuel 18:14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him.
We did read this, but we're going to go back to it again. You got it. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Mahalathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand...
Hold up! I want y'all to get that. Now you got people that's in your life that's giving you things because they want you to have things that's going to cause you to what? Trip up. Good God Almighty. So now you're receiving these blessings. And some of y'all going off on these blessings, not understanding the blessing that you're receiving is really not a blessing from God. You have to be careful in dealing with folks when they give you something and you try to transform these scriptures to say, God said that he'll make my enemy bless me. Better be careful that that's God is making your enemies bless you, and not your enemies trying to put you into a snare or a trap. In order to run through the system that I'm telling you about today, you have to be, and one of my favorite scriptures that we never hear anybody say, it is one of my favorite scriptures that I try to read by, be sober and vigilant. In other words, that word sober has to deal with this not being at a drunken state of being. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure y'all understand what I'm saying, because some of y'all think that's only have to deal with folks are getting drunk, alcoholic drunk. Okay, when you get drunk, how many of y'all been drunk before? And I ain't talking about last week. Let's just go back in the past some more. Hallelujah. You been drunk last week? I don't know. Thanksgiving holiday. I know y'all probably had a couple of and turn them up. Did Muffin, you turn any up for Thanksgiving? Don't answer that. Don't answer that, Muffin. Please don't answer that. Hallelujah. Don't answer that. The Spirit got into you. Ooh, you was Holy Ghosting, wasn't you? Hallelujah. That was funny for me. No, all jokes aside. Now, when you drunk, what happens? Tell me. Come on. When you're drunk, what happened? Everything becomes what? Impaired. Y'all, these deep, profound folks, Mike Jones, gonna act like they ain't been drunk in so long. I forgot, Pastor, it been that long ago. Magdalena, when you was drunk last month, what happened? I know as soon as that baby came out of you, you turned up the fifth. So come on, come with me. I know you real with me. No, all jokes aside. When you're drunk, why do they do not want you to drive? You are not in full capacity of your being. You cannot judge correctly, and what you see, it may not be there, or you can't see something that's there. It's the same thing in the spiritual sense. If you're not sober and vigilant, if you're not paying attention constantly, you may have a deer jump out in front of you, and you may wreck the car and kill you and everybody in this car if you're not paying attention at all times. Stop looking for a blessing. That's why I'm going through this drought season message, because some of y'all are looking for blessings, and the devil know that you're looking for a blessing, and now he's trapping you up. You may thought that David might have said, oh, now I'm married to the king's daughter. Woo, hallelujah. Yes. I know I'm going to be the king very soon. Everything is in line. The first one wasn't the one that was ordained for him to be with, correct? Second one was given to him to trip him up, even though she fell in love with David and it flipped the script, but Saul's intention was to destroy him. Let's go.
And Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.
Now I'm going to confuse and mess him up. I want him to be trapped by the Philistine. Go ahead.
Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth he to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hands of the Philistines.
I'm good.
And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wow. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave him them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife.
Hold on. I want y'all to go back and read the 26th verse. What pleased Saul? I mean, what pleased David? That's it. That's it. Hold on. Yeah. Don't miss what it said. it pleased David to be the king, not King Saul's, not Saul's son-in-law, but the what? The king is the what? Position. If you don't honor and respect the person, you have to honor and respect the position. You don't need to do it for the person that's getting on your nerve. You need to do it for the position or that they are in. Or in some of y'all cases, if they your bosses, you do it because they your bosses, not the people. In some of y'all cases, if they're homeless, you do it because they're homeless, not because they got the spirit to get over on you. If you stop doing it for the individual, then you win. That's your third point. Some of y'all are looking at individual and not at the position or the place that they are in or the title or the being that they are functioning. And that's why you're tripping up. Because if Magdalena got on my nerves, then I need to stop looking at Magdalena and look at the spirit and separate them two. I should respect Marguerite as the first lady of this church, even if I don't like her and can't stand her, and she get on my last nerve because of the position that she in, I respect the first lady. This is what he's saying. I respect and I thank God that I'm the king's son-in-law. That is deep, and we all misses that. I learned that a long time ago. You always respect the position. That's why you got people that are Republicans that may not like President Obama. They'll tell you they don't like President Obama, but they respect that position that he's in. I was in D.C. today. They still shut down Suitland Parkway, 295, 695, and 395 until he came through there because they respect him as the president of this great United States of America. He may be black, white, green, blue, purple, but he is still the president. And if they don't want to call him Obama, they still going to respect call him what? President. Let me express this to y'all. We mess up because we done formulated this, and I'm very careful I put this, these title movements inside the African-American church where now we think the titles are validating who we are. Now we're telling folks to respect the titles. But I can't respect the title if you ain't working in the position, because the titles are coming people's names. And we have to be very careful, because if they're a minister in this ministry and you don't like the ministers, if they still ministers doing their job, you should respect the position. Mothers, that's why I say in this church, you respect the years that they have been on this earthly realm, the wisdom that they have. That's why this society is being ruined, because when I grew up, if somebody was older than you and you didn't say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you find yourself coming up off the floor. Because we respect that they've been here for years. There's no respect anymore. And my mom and daddy didn't predicate whether they had $10,000 in a bank or $5 in the bank. They didn't predicate on whether they was dressed up in nice clothes or they came in there like a hobo. If they was older than us, we were supposed to say what? Stop looking at the people. All right, let's roll.
And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michael, Saul's daughter, loved him.
How many times now have y'all seen that Saul kept coming out and David kept doing and behaving himself? Let me see, we javelin two times, the wife fiasco, the second one. Now he's sending them out to be killed by the Philistines. Y'all, guess what? When you behave yourself and really respect the position, this is my last point. You don't have to worry about it. You become oblivious to the junk that goes around. You look at it different now. You look at it as an opportunity, not a hindrance. Look what David said here. Ooh, I get to go fight the Philistines. It's a what? Opportunity. Ooh, I'm getting married to the king's daughter. It ain't a hindrance. It's a what? Opportunity. Your outlook on everything that's been thrown your way, it has changed because of your attitude has changed. This is a time for me to show off, y'all. Let me go get him. Let's go.
And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually.
And the enemies would start getting madder and madder. Go ahead.
Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set
Hold
by.
On. He didn't behave himself. What'd he do? Behaved himself what?
More wisely.
What's the key in that? Not to behave in himself, ma'am, but what?
Wisely.
He's thinking about it. He's seeing it. He's weighing on it all. And he's reacting to it very wisely. My gosh, we got a lot to learn, don't we? Just can't say what we want to say anymore, can we? Can't fly off the hinges no more. Can't act like a fool. I know good and well that Mike Jones getting on my last nerve, but I can't just say it. Not no more. I'm a Christian. Boy, that hit you in the back, don't. My God, I possess a Holy Ghost on the inside of me, just won't let me get away with it anymore. There's no more about I can put it on the shelf. I can't even do that no more. I told somebody one day, I said, it's very difficult, especially when you're in an authority position on your job, and they know that you go to church, and they know you're a Christian. They'll try you. So now you have to balance the act of being somebody that is a leader or in charge with somebody that is a Christian. So I can't let Mike Jones get away with it because of my position as boss man. But I have to sternly speak to him because God says in the scripture, he chastens those that he loves. And if God chastised those that he loves, then he really wants me being in a position of authority to chastise those that he loves. But this is where we mess up at. We go in there and chastise them and whip them, and then we happy with our chest poked out going back in our office like we told them off, when we need to go back and explain the reason why we chastise them and be there to recover and restore after chastising. Because isn't that what God does for us? So I can get on Sister Monica if she's not doing her job very well. I can cut her, but the more I cut her, that means the more I got to stitch up afterwards. Our problem is we do it with our kids all the time. We just want to whip, beat, and we don't want to explain. So we're leaving kids hurting and inside the corner, licking their wounds, looking for some healing, and we didn't go in there after the fact and say, listen, this is what you did. Buddy did this move where he didn't do his reading. I got on him, chastised him, made me late, but I made him do his reading this morning. But then I sit down and explain to him what I seen, and what I say, that it seemed like when your sister come over, you changed, and you're not the buddy that you was, and you got all out of sync. I said, you got to be in control of yourself and stop allowing your sister to change who you are. Chastise him, got on him, and then I explained to him what I see so he can understand. Now he's made aware of it. When it happens the next time, he's going to pay attention to it. Because he don't want to get in trouble again. We don't do that. Because I say so. Hold on, what do you mean just because you say so? So then we'll find our kids, because Doris is famous, and she get to raising her voice like she's regulating something in the house. And she just fussing without trying to talk or explain. And she just imitates what she see adults do. And we have to be careful because our kids mirror what we do. We have to take our time a little bit more and explain it to them a little bit more.
1 Samuel 19:1.
It ain't over. Listen, y'all, it ain't over. Watch this.
And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David.
Good God Almighty.
But Jonathan.
Hold on. I want somebody to tell me. What did David do? Can anybody tell me what David did? This is where y'all get caught up at. Y'all want to know where y'all get caught up at? Trying to evaluate that you ain't
do nothing wrong. I'm tired of this, God. I'm sitting up here doing what I'm supposed to do.
You act like this is about you now. Uh-huh. Guess what? It is. It's a development case that he's placing on the inside of you to teach you to grow up. 19th chapter, first verse, Samuel. Listen. Stop thinking that you're blameless in everything. That's my mentality. And it's helping me out now. Now when somebody wronged me, I always say, well, I wronged somebody else in the past, so. That's the way I think now. So I can't say, well, they did me wrong, and Lord, you let them do me wrong. I done somebody wrong in the past. Did any of y'all in here have ever done somebody wrong in the past? Raise your hand. And hold on, no. I'm not talking about, well, I didn't know past. I'm talking about one of them vicious movements. One of them sick, ill will movements. New in the midst of you was doing. You didn't even have the Holy Ghost. The conscience called you out, and you ignored the conscience and still put a little icing on the cake. Raise your hand and testify in this place. You have no right to get upset if anybody ever do anything to you. That's my mentality from this point on. This is how I get through this. Oh, well. There you go. See? No. See, that what I'm talking about. Then you're like, okay, maybe I did deserve this, huh? Yes. Some of the wrongdoings that we done. Some of the rooty-poot, dirty things that we done did into our beings. And knew it. Hold up. We knew it. It ain't like we was oblivious to what we was doing. We knew it before we entered into it in our mind. We allow our body to follow through the acts of it, and we continue to the end and laughed at the end of it. They learn now. Because I'm going to tell y'all, men, we can act foolish. Women, they take things to another level. Let me ask you, how many of y'all have ever seen a man and a woman break up and a man throw the woman's clothes out the window? Irvin, you ever seen that? Or burn your clothes? Well, I love this ministry. Boy, I tell you this, if you ain't real, then you can't stay in this ministry. It run fake folks away. Burned them. Let's go on in the scripture, please, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's roll.
But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee.
You see, God will place people on your behalf. All he wants you to do is behave yourself. It ain't your job. All this time, all of this going on with David, and David is oblivious to it all. God is a great place to be, ain't it? He's just trying to what? Do right. Let's go.
Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant against David, because he hath not sinned against thee. And because his works have been to thee worth.
Do you need it? Do you see that? Y'all read that, right? Who spoke the truth here? Jonathan. If David would have came to the king and tried to do this, what would have happened? Done. Your problem is you trying to get the last word in. Stop trying to run your mouth. Let God handle it. God will place people to speak on your behalf, and you won't even be there when the conversation go on. It's a faith move.
For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel.
I love this.
Thou sawest it and didst rejoice.
Yeah, you rejoiced. You was happy when you did that. I can't comprehend. In other words, his son come to him and say, Dad, I can't comprehend why you're trying to kill this man. Can you please explain to me what you hate so much about him? You asked him to do this, he done this. You asked him to salute the Philistine, he did that. Matter of fact, you jumped up and down and rejoiced. So what's the problem here? Keep on.
Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past.
Mm.
And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand.
This man, listen, y'all, this man is fighting wars, playing harps, and doing everything, whatever this man say to do. And this man just can't stand him. Some folks just don't like y'all. Listen. Some people just don't like you. No, listen. Some folks just can't stand you. They can't stand the way you look, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you smell. They just can't stand you. Stop running up in their faces. Just do your job. It ain't your job to fit in. Just do your job and God will protect you. And it's good. But we wants to be everybody's friend. When I get finished this, I'm actually going to do, it's going to be next year, so it's no time soon. I'm going to teach everybody how to evangelize, because I think we done gave a bad rep on how to evangelize. And being that nobody want to evangelize, because nobody want to run around to everybody's house and knock on the doors like Jehovah's Witnesses, because it's very embarrassing. Your job to, and how you evangelize, is simply just living the life. God will place you in positions where people will come in your lives that your testimony will cause them to change. We don't understand the concept of evangelism, and that's one of the reasons why we don't own a job anymore. Now, what we try to do now, we try to go be everybody's friends. So when they all in the break room, we want to go in the break room and we want to chime in to them. They really can't stand us because we're Christian, we're holy rollers, and then we come in there acting like this, that, and the other. They don't want to be bothered with us because we trying to fit in and change everybody. Folks don't like me, I don't care. I don't want to be bothered with them. I told one person, I tell y'all all of my crazy story. I was in D.C. one day, and we was working on the job, and we had this problem. So we had a meeting about it. So it was a person on the was in the office, and she got all upset. And I told her, I said, just do your job. I said, we pay you to do your job. She got all mad. She was an older lady, and she had teeth in her mouth, and she come up to me and all mad and stuff. Hi, hi, hi. And the teeth came out of her mouth, and I laughed at her because she acted like she wanted to fight me. And I said, why are you so upset? I said, did you understand that all we want you to do is to do your job? All of this extra don't need to be. Just do your job. And everybody, and then after I got finished the meeting, I'm okay. I'm like, and somebody said, well, she gonna act foolish. I said, you don't understand. When I leave this place, I don't need to talk to her. We are in this place to work together. And I will respect her while we're on this job to work together in the position she has as an accountant. But if she don't do her job on the cost and knowledge of this job, then I'm going to get on her about that. You can't throw up in my face about a Christianity. I never cursed. I never act like a fool. She don't want to jump up and act like the fool. I kept my composure. I told her to what? Do her job. I brought back to light that she's getting paid to do this job, and she didn't perform this job well. So really, be honest with you, she's stealing at this point. She broke the commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Because she did not perform her task correctly, and it cost us money on the job because all she had to do was to do what? Do her job. But folks don't like when you point out their flaw. But we have to learn that fine line to where we can tell somebody correctly and don't worry about the aftermath, because all y'all have to do is work with them 8 hours a day. If they don't want to talk to you, that's fine. That's okay. But when you go ask them a question, if you're their boss, they got to answer you. If they don't, then they get what? It's simple. And that's what I'm learning. I'm learning that because the scripture clearly tells us in all matters, we're supposed to handle them as business. We're supposed to conduct business. We are supposed to walk and talk and be business-minded in all matters. Christianity, especially us as being folks who don't, when God started elevating us into position, now in a position, we feel like we got to kiss people's butts to get into these positions when we don't. Just do your job, perform it well, shine the light, and if they still need it, be the first one. Now, if she came in that office and said that she needed prayer, I would have been the first one to pray for. Not because I'm pastor of a church, but that is my job. And God has sent me there to witness. That's my responsibility when something arises. We have to understand these things. A lot of time we are failing and we are getting caught up into traps because of our emotional roller coaster coming on the inside of us of protecting our beings from everybody else that we're going to share. Or we want to tell everybody else off instead of be able to behave ourselves, weigh out everything, see how we're going to approach it, and then react to their actions the proper way. Amen? Let's go.
And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent unto messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou shalt save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick.
And then you see why God did not allow him to marry the first one. But now allow him the what? Second one. See, some things in your life has already been orchestrated before you got there. But you soaking because you didn't get to marry the first one. When the first one was no good for you. Because the first one wouldn't have let you down. The first one wouldn't have helped you out. First one to call daddy and say, daddy, he in here, come get him. So some of y'all dying because you don't allow God to continue on working out the plan. And you trying to work it out for him. Come on, because I can't even get to the last one. All right, let's go. Go on.
And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah.
Okay, let's go to 26th chapter. We're going to go to the next one. I don't want to get it on. Let's go. Come on. He was chasing them for a few months. Let's go.
1 Samuel 24:1.
Yeah.
And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And it came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee.
This is why you got to be careful at y'all, okay? You got to be careful here, all right? Let's go.
Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand.
Your friends want you to get revenge, but God don't. Ladies, you know them girls that you done told all your man's business to, they telling you what to do. God didn't tell you. Hallelujah. Like I wish Miss Nakia was there. They holler about let's ride or die, ride or die. God didn't tell you to ride or die, ride or die. That's what Nakia said, didn't she? Nakia said that she had a girl, one of them went bad, they all like, let's ride or die together. They all got in the car and went and tapped the man's car. You can't do that. You're going to curse yourself. Let's go. Watch this.
That thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee.
See? Was God in that? That you may do to him what, boy, Phil, you want to get back, don't you? I bet your Magdalena would tear something up. I know you would tear something up. Amanda, back in the day, you would tear something up. Don't fear. Okay, see that? Lord God, where the oil, Marguerite? You better start slinging. No thing. One. Someone. Let's go.
Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it.
Hold on. I love that. What did he say? David arose.
And cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately.
Privately. He ain't kill him. He had him in a cave. Could have killed him. He was asleep. He just cut off the robe privately. Go ahead.
And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt.
Dang! I just wanted him to know I was here. God convicted him. I ain't tell you even do that. Some of y'all just want them to know that you're alive. And you still got it going on. I ain't tell you to do that. I ain't ask you to do anything of your own accord. That's when it gets tough. When you got to keep your mouth quiet. And he gives you an opportunity to show off. And he won't let you. Now you got to art with God because God won't let you get your get back.
And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.
It ain't got nothing to do with me, nor do it got anything to do with you. It's the anointing of God that I want to treasure more than anything. And in order for me to get to the next level, I have to respect the position and not taint the position. Because if I taint the position, when I get in that position, I'll become tainted. Good God Almighty. Y'all missed that. So I got to respect it enough and people enough that if I ever fall in that position where they are that I'm talking about them, God going to bless me to get out of it. Some of y'all need to respect your bosses because you ever get in that position where your boss is at, you want people to respect you. What goes around? Ouch.
Let's go to another right quick. Give me about 5 more minutes. Y'all don't mind. 26th chapter.
1 Samuel 26:1, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Amalek the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster.
What I tell you here was his favorite weapon, his spear or his javelin. Let's go.
But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointing and be guiltless?
Good God Almighty. I love that part. I can't do it. Then I got guilt on me. If somebody curse you out, you can't curse them back. Because now you just as guilty as they are. Somebody yell and scream at you, and you yell and scream back, then you what? Guilty as? It makes sense now, don't it? So you're not destroying your enemies, you're destroying yourself. God, this is deep, ain't it? All right, that's enough. Now, go ahead. Let's go a little bit more.
David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them.
Okay, but let me tell you this. This is where you get your joy at. And you never said you couldn't mess with them a little bit. Can you imagine what happened to Saul that morning when two events occur? His robe was cut off. He knew David was there. And when he took the spear and the water, he knew David was there again. Now he's saying, what kind of man is this that could kill me, but didn't? Wow. He becoming more afraid of this man. Not only can I catch and kill him, God done placed me into his hand two times. And he still didn't lay our hands on me. Now you are confusing your enemy. They don't know how to take you. They don't know how to deal with you. And believe it or not, this is when David was having fun with them and then enjoying his movement now. One more, and we're done. 31st chapter. First verse.
1 Samuel 31:1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines.
Hold on, what was happening? What did David say? He have to fall in what? Battle, not by what? My hand. Gosh. Let's go.
And fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it.
Mm-hmm. Who killed Saul? Your enemy's going to kill himself. You let them give enough rope, they what? Don't worry about it. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, we love you, we honor you all that you did, and we appreciate the word. We ask you to continue to watch over the leaders, guide us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.